Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health. I am your host, Dawson Church, and I love sharing with you every week on the show. Imagine my job. I get to sit down with inspiring people, literally and metaphorically, every week, and ask them about some of the deepest questions about their lives, about their work, and about their message. And when I do this, I'm so struck by the perspective that each of us has to share, the magic we all have, and the potential we all have to live our fullest. So I encourage you to make High Energy Health part of your routine. Make it part of your life. Bookmark this if you're listening on a device where you can do that. Make it a part of every week to fill your mind with inspiring ideas, positive thoughts, positive messages. I also encourage you to listen with one of these things, a pen and paper or something to write on in hand, because our guests have so many valuable insights. You want to write those down, and then you want to figure out how to apply them in your life. I know I've been to innumerable conferences in my life, and I listen with my pen and paper handy. I write things down, and then I'll find some nugget of wisdom that will make a huge difference in some part of my life. You never know when it's going to happen. So listen actively and plan to apply what you hear. And the final thing I want to ask you to do is share High Energy Health with others. And think of the person you know who's lonely right now. There have been several articles written recently about the epidemic of loneliness. The previous Surgeon General of the U.S. wrote an article pointing out how the loneliness epidemic is really prevalent in our society, both among old people and now increasingly researched in young people. And it has epigenetic effects. If people are lonely, if they're disconnected, then that affects their gene expression in adverse ways. And you doing something compassionate, like sending a link to a show to a friend of yours who is suffering from some loss or some deficit or some worry or some stress in their lives, might make all the difference. So please do not only listen actively, but also be proactive in sharing these shows with other people who might really need them. You never know when your suffering friend or family member will be given a lifeline by some simple act of kindness of yours, like sharing a show. Share High Energy Health and immerse yourself in these wonderful ideas. I'm so delighted to welcome our guest for today. Her name is Carol Osborne. She's the best-selling author of over 35 books. Her most recent is Spiritual Aging: Weekly Reflections for Embracing Life. Her earlier books include The Making of an Old Soul, subtitle is Aging as the Fulfillment of Life's Promise, and also the book Older, Wiser, Fiercer. She has appeared on Oprah, NBC Nightly News, and The Today Show, among others. She's also helped brands like Ford, AARP, Prudential, and Humana communicate with baby boomers. Her website is Carol Osborne, that's O-R-S-B-O-R-N, carolosborne.com. Carol, what a delight to be connecting with you today.
Thank you. You're a bright spot on an otherwise cold and chilly day.
And we'll get brighter as we go along together. Yeah, this is a really unique niche that you've developed over here, and I just loved reading the book, feeling your warmth and the kind of empathy and connection you bring to it. That kind of perspective, I know, did not start with this book. It's been developed over a long time. What led you to that kind of wise, compassionate presence that you bring to your writing and your appearances today?
Oh, wow. Well, I guess a lifetime of trial and error trying to be my best possible self. I had to grow beyond ego and leadership and expertise and everything, let all the layers peel away until I was just me speaking the words that were in my heart. And honestly, I wrote this book for myself, and I'm glad other people, and I trusted other people would come along. But if it didn't work for me, it wouldn't work for anybody.
And what made you feel, what events were there that made you feel that I need this kind of approach?
Well, I think aging in the best of times is difficult. You know, aging in these times, when a lot of people thought that the world was going to be a certain way and their lives were going to look a certain way, and they are shocked to know how desperately different their expectations are for how things are turning out, really are searching for meaning and purpose no matter what. And I felt at this point, and I felt this way actually 4 or 5 years ago when I conceived this book, that the best way to, for me, I know a lot already, and older people know a lot. We know a lot. We're smart. We're wise. We've been through a lot, but we forget, and we need reminders, and the stakes keep getting raised. You know, just when we think we've got things handled, something new happens, and suddenly we have to grow and expand again. So I wrote this book to be, first of all, a weekly reminder and to re-inspire us through personal reflection. I also wanted it to be used in community whenever possible, because I agree. I think community is like urgent. And the third thing is that in the back of the book, so the book is a book of weekly readings. So, you know, it's the first week of January or the fifth week of March, whatever. You can hop into the book anywhere because it's a cyclical book. You read a reading a week, and when you get to the end of the second year, this 2 years of readings, you go back to the beginning. So you can hop in anytime. But the other thing I wanted to do is have an index in the back so that if the reading that week isn't something you are dealing with that week, but you want to go, here's a page here, right here. We have legacy, letting go, life review, limitations, loneliness, loss, love, marginalization. So whatever you're feeling, you can go to the back of the book and it will take you to the particular reading.
Powerful. And then you mentioned that you intended it to be used in community as well. How could it be used in, say, a group of people?
Well, the reflections themselves lend themselves to discussions. So a lot of people are in book clubs and are either incorporating this in their book club or have actually taken their book clubs and decided to make their book clubs a year of weekly reflections using this book 1 week at a time. But, you know, church groups, synagogues, community centers, groups of friends just spontaneously are gathering at coffee shops or each other's homes. And they can just use the book itself. But in order to facilitate that, I started a Substack. I don't know if your viewers know what Substack is. It's new vehicle of communications, just what we need. But it's actually quite wonderful. And it allowed me to start a community online called Spiritual Aging at Substack. It's spiritualaging.substack.com, where I'm posting weekly study guides. And so somebody could come online, enroll in my online organization, get the study guide, and then go and gather a group together and either do it volunteer. Most people are volunteers, but some people are doing this as to make money. And I support that. We're just in relationship with each other around that. And two major global organizations have jumped on with that, which I'd love to tell you about if we can hear about it. Oh, okay. I'm not alone in this, by the way. This is, you know, it's like I wrote the book. But it comes out of the consciousness movement of the 60s, because many of those leaders, when they got older, they started writing about aging. So we're talking about maybe 10, 15 years ago. We had people like Ram Dass and Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi. Many of the leaders of the consciousness raising movement started to understand that aging is not something to dread. It could be a spiritual experience. And so one of those people, Rev Zalman, started an organization called Saging, which is now a global organization around the world. And they have meetings, 10 people in a group meeting online on Zoom around the world with trained facilitators who are bringing people together to talk about their experiences of aging and how they can turn it into something that fulfills life promise instead of is something that is a disappointment.
Yeah, powerful. And when you get that reinforcement and also the reflection you get sparked by other people's reflection in the group, then that can really be powerful, both to have support and also maybe perspectives you didn't have. But it's interesting. Yeah, I remember reading Ram Dass's book, Still There.
And yes, big influence.
Coming to grips with this whole thing. When did you first start to think about even the question of aging? Because, you know, if you think about when we're 20, 30 years old, we think about aging as something we'll be reflecting on many decades from now. It's not an immediate thing. When did you first begin to first grapple with this concept?
Well, I guess I'm a little bit of a prodigy. For starters, I had breast cancer when I was 49. So there's something about facing down mortality at a younger age that wisens you and ages you if you bring spirituality to it. And I had a spiritual orientation anyway. I'm 76 now, so that was a long time ago. But the other interesting thing, it was just finishing my Master's of Theological Studies at Vanderbilt University and entering my doctorate in History and Critical Theory of Religions, studying life stage development and spiritual development right in the midst of all that. And I recovered from the breast cancer, and then I got my doctorate, and then I went out into the workforce at the age of 50 and found that I was too old to get hired anywhere on a tenure track as a professor. And so suddenly it was like, wake up call, ageism is real, I'm not going to be young forever, it doesn't matter. I had already written 20 books at that point, that didn't matter. I was too old for the universities to want to give a permanent position to, and so I had to start figuring out another way to use my knowledge. And I went from helping companies market to boomers, which I did for a while. And that's when I worked with Ford and Humana and many others. And eventually I decided I had outgrown the message that marketers wanted. Marketers wanted to say that, you know, 50 is the new 30, 60 is the new 40. And I began to feel like the academics and the mainstream had missed the point. And so I started reading the works of mystics at like Ram Dass. And especially because I was so disappointed that I couldn't get a tenure track position because of my age. I thought, is my life over? You know? And the mystics that I was studying said, no, not at all. But it needed amplification. So, you know, I really melded my skills as a marketer, scholar, and mystic to produce this book. And to have it break through, that's really the hard part.
That's powerful. And yeah, in fact, in India, in Vedantic philosophy, that part of life is the time when you become a sannyasin, a seeker. You prioritize your spiritual life. And that, in fact, is regarded as the pinnacle of where everything you've learned and experienced so far. You then move into that time when you now have the kind of reflection and leisure to be able to really embrace that phase of life and look at those questions. So,
I talk about the forest dwellers. That's from that same teaching. I love this notion of old people leaving their old homes and communities and going off to the forest. And at that point, they stop seeking to proactively go out and proselytize their wisdom. They sit out in their huts and they wait for the people in the village to come seek them out. And then there's a stage beyond that where they're beyond that even. Their whole relationship is with the mystery, you know, the greater, I don't know what they call it in that religion. I don't think they call it God, but, you know, a power greater than themselves, the next step. So, you know, they're so much more sophisticated about what can happen at older age than we tend to be in the West.
Yeah, I know. In research, we find that there are people who choose what either we think of as the path of service, where they go and share with other people, or after they reach that stage, they have the path of moving into just those phases of non-duality, of oneness, of being present with the all that is, where they aren't terribly interested in the outside world. Others, though, do go back and do good works and try and educate people. So it sounds like you are in that phase of being, well, what do you want to share this wisdom with other people and help enrich their lives and let them know that these options are possible?
Well, you know, I was deeply retired forever. And I had a series of dreams. It sounds, you know, I don't know, mystical or something, but the dreams don't appear in my book. But what does appear is the messages that were coming through about an alternative view of aging that was being taught to me every night while I slept. And they're very countercultural. and original, and yet they're archetypal. They're very classical, what I was teaching. But I felt called to come back. After this experience, I felt called, but it wasn't an easy comeback because, when you step out as long as I did to want to step back in, I went back to my old agent and told him my idea, and he said, nobody wants to hear about old people talking about mystical things who aren't already famous or whatever. And so I thought, well, maybe he's right. So I dared God. Okay, I called my higher power God. I dared God. I said, I'm going to fire the agent. The second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take this manuscript and I'm going to send it to one publisher I really like. It's Inner Traditions. And they published me back in 2015. But then they turned me down on my next two proposals. And so I said to myself, if they accept this book, I'll take it as a sign that I'm meant to actually complete it and publish it. If they turn it down, I'm going back very happily into my little life meditating on the river. And lo and behold, I sent it out to one place who had rejected me twice and they accepted it. And of course, I immediately had great remorse because now I had to do it. But yeah.
And again, in doing research on people having awakening experiences, we find this a very common kind of ambivalence. You love to share your wisdom, and that means doing things like this show, that you have to get out there and interact with people and demands on your time and attention and energy than that you wouldn't normally have. So that is a kind of a dichotomy that people face. We're going to go to a break right now, but we'll be right back. You're listening to High Energy Health. For more on Carol's work, go to her website, which is carolorsborn.com, and her new book is called Spiritual Aging. Highly recommended. 2 years of readings. You can dip into them anywhere. You can also use the list in the back to find the topic that is most relevant to you today. We'll be right back after a break.
The buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church, and I love sharing with you every week on the show. For more on Carol's work, go to her website, carolorsborn.com, and also think about Spiritual Aging, her new book, not just for you, but for people you know who are grappling with aging. In our society, as Carol was pointing out, aging is often viewed very ambivalently and often very negatively, and she had the wake-up call of not being able to get hired as a professor because of her age at a mere 50. People who are confronting their mortality, their aging, their change in life status, it might make a lot of difference for them to read a book like that. So think about being generous with gifts of the book as well as sending them to her site and to this show. Carol, when people first realize that things have changed in their lives, what's one of the pieces of advice you have? I was thinking about one friend of mine, and this woman happened to live her life, and she was very pretty and attracted a lot of attention from men. And one of the things she would do, she'd walk through the mall and enjoy men staring at her. And then she said to me, Dawson, I remember the day I walked through the mall and I was invisible. I mean, that was like this absolute, her world just was collapsed when that happened. So when people start to find mortality, whether the men, women, whatever phase of life that might happen for them in, what do you recommend that they start to do first to shift their perspective?
To listen to people like me and you and to connect into this new grassroots vision of aging is incredibly helpful because there's nothing in the society that supports you in that moment when you realize that you're aging, that you're not having the same impact you had when you were younger, that you are powerless over things that you used to believe you had power in. And the first thing is you just feel so alone, like you're the only one in the world that somehow the world is passing you by and that's the end of it for you. So it's incredibly important to seek out role models of people who are your age or older, who are experiencing aging as a spiritual experience and therefore having unprecedented levels of meaning, purpose, joy, fulfillment, but not in the old way. So there's this like period of a void where you have to let go of the old and before the new starts to come in. And that period of the void is very painful. And unless you understand what it is, you seem like a scholar to me, like you understand the life stages and how they all work together. And I think there's nothing more frightening than being unprepared for something like this. I call it the void or the dark night of the soul or liminal space. You know, this moment where the old has lost its grip on you and you're sort of free floating in the universe and haven't really started looking seriously at what's next in terms of aging, loss, death, and dying. You haven't made peace with it yet. Aging, I think, is far, far scarier and harder than being old. But not everybody gets to be old. I think it's a privilege to be old. I mean, physical bodies die young, for starters, but also a lot of people in our society deny the possibility of ever growing old because they don't want to grow old, so they just stay in midlife as long as possible. And that's painful to watch. People that have overstayed their welcome in a life stage that they really should have outgrown, who are, you know, spending a fortune on various treatments and exercise regimes and denying themselves what their hearts are telling them, what they really need and want, what will really need nurture their soul in order to continue to try and stay relevant in a way that was appropriate maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago in their life, but not now. And it's because they're so afraid of what's next. And just like jumping into the pool, you know, the deep end of the pool. You know, once my son was like that. He just didn't want to use the diving board, you know, stand at the end of the diving board shivering and not wanting to go in. When he finally plunged in, he loved it so much. He would go over and over and over again. Now he's, you know, he skis down the slopes and he, you know, whatever. It's a new skill. Learning to love being old is a skill. And I would challenge those people who are just at the very beginning of awareness that this is something that may be happening to them to not forestall it, to not deny it, romanticize it, or avoid it, but rather dive into the experience and start learning more about it from people who seem to have a handle on it.
So as you listen to Carol's wonderful wise words, grab whatever you're writing this down on and make a note to yourself and just write down this question. You won't be able to answer it right now, but I want you to have the question in your mind. What am I avoiding about being old? What am I avoiding about being old? You can also get more confrontational. What do I fear about being old? So start to focus at least on those questions and then open yourself to the answer. And you'll find there are all kinds of resources there when you start to look for them, starting with Carol's book. And there are people there, as she was mentioning earlier. Find examples, find mentors, find archetypes, find people who are representations to you of this, and then start to question your own fears, your own reservations, your own worries about getting old, and start with that journaling question. Carol, that's a wonderful way to engage with this and then to start to bring this into the field of consciousness rather than just stuffing it down there to the field of fear and denial.
Yes.
Now you're in the field of consciousness. We'll talk more about this after a break. You're listening to High Energy Health. Go to carolorsborn.com for more information about Carol's work and about her new book, Spiritual Aging. Also, her old books are well worth taking a look at as well.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after a break.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net. Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At lovingrelationshipsnow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at lovingrelationshipsnow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit lovingrelationshipsnow.com.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. It works quickly and has no side effects. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com. That's tappinggift.com. Don't suffer when help is at your fingertips. Get your manual at tappinggift.com today.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Thank you. Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. It's great to have you here. Isn't this a wonderful consideration? Doesn't that question that you just journaled about, what do you fear about aging? What are negative stories you tell yourself about aging? Aren't those great questions to ponder? Do ponder them. And again, you'll find out a lot more in Carol's book, which is a wonderful way of reminding you of your strengths, opportunities, and potential as you age. Carol, so as you were facing that huge, life-changing realization at 49 and then 50, what did you do next?
Wow, what did I do next? I am a seeker, and so I started to look for somebody who could be a role model for me. And I went into a dusty old used bookstore, and it's one of those stories where a book fell down off the shelf. I was reaching for something else, and it was a book I had never heard of and changed my life. It's a book called The Measure of My Days by Florida Scott Maxwell. She was 85 years old at the time when she wrote this book 50 years ago. And she was saying things. I found this book, I guess, around 8 years ago. And she was saying things that nobody else was saying. Most of the books on aging are books by experts telling you how to do it. Here's how to be happy. Here's how to be successful. You know, positive aging, healthy aging, whatever, you know. And she wasn't like that. She was talking about telling the truth about reality of what it's like to be old and have losses and physical issues. And at one point in the book, her children, her adult children, got on a ship to go to Europe. She knew she was never going to see them again. This is, you know, hard stuff. And yet she decided there was something more important than being happy, and that is being fully alive, to be passionate. And she found that she could be, the older she got, the more passionate she was getting. And she wrote this as stream of consciousness, and so it was paragraphs after paragraph, and they didn't match. You know, she'd jump from subject to subject. But I recognized her so profound that what I did is I spent a year, and I took every paragraph that she wrote, and I took her paragraph, and then I journaled my feelings about the same subject. And that was at the same time, I think I already talked about my dreams, right? So, you know, I was just doing a lot of exploring, inner exploring, but also in reaction to other people. So I'm hoping my book is somewhat of a model like that. People don't have to agree with what I wrote. They're meant to be provocative, the way you asked that question. So, you know, if they read what I write, then they might write and say, I don't think what she's saying here makes any sense at all. You know, this is what I think. And that's how I grew into my own belief system, which is different from hers, but inspired by her.
Powerful. And often when we are pondering a question like that, the exact resource comes to us, like that book left off the shelf at you. And then again, you mentioned you having those archetypal dreams as well. So yeah. Here, both physical things are happening to you in the outside world, of the books coming to you, you need information coming to you, you need, and then this powerful voice of intuition, higher self, God, dreams, these archetypal dreams coming to you as well, which are prompting you. Now you're getting input from the outer world, from the inner world. You're wrestling with it in journaling about her ideas. Wow.
I think there's two things that happen to us as we age. And I think my story kind of illustrates it. When I got shut down from the professorship, I contracted into fear, self-loathing. Why did I take so long? Why is it so hard? How stupid the institution is. And it was a contraction, right? Through some miracle, and I think it's a personality trait. I think I'm graced. I think I'm fortunate. But I think many of us are. We are presented with these moments, these crisis moments, where we only have two choices. We can either shut down like I was doing, or we can expand. And you mentioned expanded consciousness. Carl Jung said the purpose of life is to expand your consciousness. Doesn't mean you have to like what you're learning about yourself or about the world. You may not like understanding that you have an irreversible condition, you know, or that you need glasses. You never needed glasses before. Or you may never get hired as a professor. It's not realistic. Now, reality is a hard pill to swallow. But, you know, you take this witness position on your life. That's an expansive mode where you say, I'm open. I was open. I was open to my dreams. I was curious. I was seeking. I was, as the mystics say, I was more curious than afraid. And I think that is the greatest gift I can give to anybody listening, and the only thing they really need to be to end up with an older age that is a joyful, fulfilled time.
Actually, this is too good a one not to journal on, Carol. So grab your journal again and think of those words of Carol's, that quote you just gave us, of be more curious than afraid. And so thinking about that, what is it that you are afraid of? And the journal question is, how might I be curious about that? And when I take the witness perspective, which is one of curiosity, what might I see? So again, you aren't going to have a chance to finish this exercise now, but you can start by writing that in your journal. When I take the witness perspective, what might I see about this part of life about which I'm afraid? We're all afraid of certain things, and being afraid is just simply built into our brain's hardwiring. But when you are afraid, you can either, as Carol says, you can contract, or to move yourself toward expansion. And again, don't blame yourself for contracting. That's the natural first response, to pull your hand away from the flame. But then once you've taken a deep breath, you then can move into that perspective and ask yourself those expansive questions to move you to expansion. And that's the witness perspective. So how might you take the witness perspective around this thing of which you're afraid? So write that question in your journal again. This should give you plenty of room for plenty of time, plenty of cause for reflection in the next little while. So, Carol, sorry to interrupt, but...
Okay, I love it. Can I give an example of,
yeah,
of what the how they might answer that? I'm thinking about your woman who used to turn heads in the mall. And so, you know, the positive of that is, I wonder, this woman sounds like she may have been a seeker. I'm wondering how many meditation classes she went to, how many gurus, how many self-help books she went to try and have her ego loosen its grip on her, right? Nothing loosens your grip, the grip of ego on you faster than aging. I mean, you don't have to go sit on a meditation pillow, really. If you want to discover humility, which is the basis of really virtually every true spiritual philosophy, just go look in the mirror. So, you know, things like humility, loss converts into become less materialistic. Spiritual people understand these things. They've been seeking all their lives to be less materialistic, to be less seeking of approval. You know, all the basic qualities of compassion. You know, when you're riding high on your horse, you don't have time to spend time chatting with the clerk at the store. Maybe that's your bigger contribution. You know, you always thought you had to go out and save the world while you were, you know, rushing past the counter, grabbing the money and making that person feel bad for the day. You know what? I think especially in our hard times, we can't necessarily change things on the scale we would like to. So I'm very much into the micro level of, you know, be a whole person and be kind in the world in your interactions and build transformation from the grassroots up right where you are.
So we're much more likely to do that and have those magic moments of connection, of humility, of compassion at this life stage and at earlier life stages. Profound possibility of actually moving into those phases of expanded being, of moving away from being busy and really being present for our lives in a whole new way. So that is what you have to look forward to in aging, that you may be a lot less distracted by. When you mentioned the woman at the mall, I was thinking too, Carol, when you mentioned the spiritual teachers and other disciples, it's like, how many men did she distract during the meditation classes as well? So now that nobody's distracted, how much closer might you get to the whole purpose of the meditation class too? We're going to do a break right now. You're listening to High Energy Health. Please do share the show with other people. For more on Carol's work, go to carolosborne.com. I am Dawson Church. We'll be right back after a break.
The buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Everyone knows that losing weight fast is dangerous. In fact, the U.S. government Center for Disease Control recommends losing no more than 1 to 2 pounds a week. But is that true? Startling new research shows that people who lose weight rapidly often have better long-term results. Now, award-winning researcher Dr. Dawson Church and registered dietitian Karen Donaldson team up to review all the evidence at 10poundsaweek.com. Download their free report at 10poundsaweek.com. That's 10poundsaweek.com. Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. For more on Carol's work, go to her website, carolorsborn.com. Her new book is called Spiritual Aging, one of many books she's written on the subject. This is a very approachable book, though, because it is very brief readings, which are going to get you hooked, and you will have a hard time stopping at one, I can tell you, because that was my experience reading the book. When I just began, it was hard not to really start to challenge yourself with all kinds of powerful ideas. And Carol, one of the crucial concepts here is aging as a spiritual practice. How does that change things?
I say it's a practice because it's, you don't snap your fingers and suddenly you're getting the benefits of age. It's something that you work hard for over a long period of time. And what you're basically doing is trying to get beyond your old programming, your old ways of seeking approval, your old persona, the limitations of your ego that kept you trying to feed this part of yourself that is hungry to have a certain kind of affirmation. And eventually, as you shed these layers, the older you get, the freer you get. See, I think now of advanced aging as ultimate freedom because the center of affirmation moves from external to internal. And the older you get, the more grounded you are in who you are, what you want, and how you're going to go about getting it. And there's a power in that that is, you see it in older people who don't need anything anymore. They have it inside of them. And I'm aspiring, I'm seeking, and I'm learning. And I'm getting a taste of it, and I like it.
How does it feel?
Things that I thought I couldn't live without. I find I'm not afraid anymore. I don't know where I'm going to be living later in life, because I always assumed I would live close to my daughter. And she moved to Canada, and Canada doesn't allow people to stay, even parents, for more than 5 or 10 years. They don't want people at the end of life. And so I'm having to ask questions about how am I going to live my life? Am I going to try and protect myself from the very end and try and guilt her to come home? Or, you know, this used to like really obsess me. And now I realize I'm going to do what feels good right now and not worry about the future. And that was beyond, you know, that I was constantly gaming the future. And there's not freedom in that. You know, gaming the future, trying to double guess things and outsmart things. Life has become very simple because I listen to my gut and I do what's next. And I understand that there might be pleasant surprises and unpleasant surprises, but I am getting used to the idea that I'm powerless, and I'm finding the freedom more than offsets the fear. I am becoming more curious than afraid. And so far, it's all right. I mean, I've gone through breast cancer. You know, I've gone through whatever the heck is going on in our world right now. I'm somehow, you know, making good decisions for myself, and life is taking unexpected turns. And, you know, I'm not going to worry about 10 years from now anymore. But I did. I was obsessed by it. So, you know, that is freedom. When you stop obsessing and stop trying to make things perform to how you need them to be for you, and to release and let go and let things flow, life can be fun no matter what.
Also, you mentioned your higher power and God, and that's a very different life from one lived without that sense of connection. So when you feel you're in connection with something greater than yourself and a consciousness greater than yourself, that by itself gives you a range of interaction with knowledge, with wisdom, with love that you don't otherwise have. And so what a way to live the last part of your life communing with the infinite.
well, that's the confidence, knowing that you're held no matter what, that makes you free. You know, that's the missing piece. I didn't say that. Also, I really want to correct. I don't only have fun. Oh my God, I said that. But the truth is that this is probably the most important takeaway of all. My goal is to be fully alive, like Florida Scott Maxwell. I want to be passionate and alive. I want to cry when I'm sad. I want to have the right to know that I have the right to express righteous indignation. You know, I want the whole range of expression. I don't want to just have this narrow band of what our society, you know, I went to the fun because I'm having fun right now, you know, so I'm that point of it. But our society defines a human potential as happiness and fun and success. And I'm saying, you know, the freedom is in the whole range of everything. To give yourself permission, grieve fully. You know, experience, nobody ever talks about how amazing it is to recover from a serious illness. There's no more greater joy than when you can suddenly walk again or get out of bed. You know, there's just all kinds of things that happen in older age that are so far beyond anything the younger people have yet to experience. And you just have to trust me on this. You're not, unless you do the work of spiritual practice, which you asked about, of aging, unless you engage in your life on that level of expanding your consciousness, you can die contracted and never know the truth about how amazing this world and life can be.
And then, of course, you are releasing all of those big goals and distractions. You're focusing on very, very simple things. How I feel right now, what I believe is important right now, where I want to move to right now. And so that's bringing you into the present moment and away from all of those things you're talking about, trying to gain the future and project a long way out. It's been such a genuine, absolute, heartfelt joy to connect with you today, Carol. Thank you for your wonderful work. I'm so glad you're influencing so many people with this, with your books and your website and that Substack group and all the other ways in which you're going about this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been a genuine joy to have you here.
Wow. You know, I used to think marketing was a joy. I mean, a chore. Now, is this marketing? I mean, I've just met a soulmate. I want more.
Absolutely.
I want more. Thank
marketing,
you so much.
I define marketing as sharing your wisdom with other people. So that's what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, it's different than when I was younger. I think that shows the trajectory, you know. It's like I'm just out there trusting God that it's all going to work out.
Well, my prayer is that you're doing this for at least another 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 years. Who knows? However long it is, go have a blast. Thank you. And again, for everyone, the book is Spiritual Aging. Highly recommended. Carol's book is carolosborne.com. And please go share this show. Share this episode with people you know who are grappling with aging, who have a limited view of aging, who have a limited view of themselves in that phase of life. Let them know there's way more, and tell them that your challenge to them is going and having as much fun as Carol Osborne and Dawson Church are in their 70s. Bless you. See you on the next episode of High Energy Health. Every blessing till then.
Epigenetics is the most exciting new field in science. It's the study of influences that turn your genes on and off. Epigenetics is a breakthrough in health and longevity, and you can learn all about it from two of the world's foremost experts. Dr. Bruce Lipton is the author of The Biology of Belief, and Dr. Dawson Church wrote The Genie in Your Genes. In a free presentation at ConsciousGene.com, they show how to apply epigenetics to boost your health, happiness, and energy levels naturally. Visit ConsciousGene.com. That's ConsciousGene.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.